Appreciate the good spirit today in the house of God and the good fellowship we've already enjoyed. Good music, visitors. I trust God will help us in the preaching hour. I'll try to get you out of here by 3 o'clock today if I can. And I don't want to detain you too long. We don't stay that long. We ought to, though. I don't believe the psalmist said, "This is the morning the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice. This is the day." All right, the Song of Solomon again this morning, please, and chapter number 5. Solomon's Song and chapter number 5. We're going to read the last verse in that chapter and draw our thought from it in the morning hour. Chapter 5 and verse number 16. His mouth is most sweet. The bride is here describing her Lord and her estimation of Him in her closing remarks of this chapter. And His mouth, she says, is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Boy, I'll tell you, she's quite confident, isn't she? This is my beloved. And this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. I wonder if we can say that this morning, that this is my beloved. Jesus is my beloved. And not only my beloved, He is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Let's bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful for the morning hour and for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. I realize, Lord, that nothing will be accomplished apart from Thee. And so I pray for a divine visitor to intervene in this service and His will be done in each of our lives. Redeeming the lost by the grace of God and reviving God's people by His power. I do believe, Lord, it's like the writer of the book said, I believe Mr. Tozier, rot, ruin, or else revival. We must have it in these days. I pray that You'll help us this morning to set our heart upon Thee, and to set Thee upon the throne of our heart. I ask You to grant power to preach. Help my voice and my body, Lord, this morning. Strengthen it with physical power. And then anoint my inner man with the Holy Ghost of God. And grant liberty to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord Jesus. Help every heart to turn themselves to Thee and yield to the Word and the will of God in this hour, and we'll thank You for all that You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. This is my beloved and my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. I tell you, it's kind of sober in here, and I like it that way. I feel quite comfortable this morning standing where I am and trying to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to you and those that are listening by radio or by internet. And I want to preach this morning on the thought of loving Jesus through the hard times. Loving Jesus through the hard times. You know, about anybody can love him while they're living on the mountain. But it takes special grace to love someone when your heart feels unloved by them. Have you ever tried that, loving somebody when you feel like in your heart that they really don't love you? Well, I found out that the bride here loved the Lord in those hard times, and I believe in her natural being that she had the right and the authority to feel as though the Lord no longer loved her. Have you ever gotten that way? You might as well nod your head up and down and say amen. That in our natural estate, in the best that we are, there have been times in our life when we felt neglected and felt even unloved by the Lord. And had not the Word of God told us that He would love us unto the end, we would yet come to the conclusion in our own heart that the Lord Jesus really did not love us and that He had deserted us and left us on our very own. But oh, I'm telling you, we need to learn to love Him even through the hard times. I know that is right. Some people love the Lord while the sun is shining. That's the only time they can love Him, is when the sun is shining. But when the dark clouds begin to gather overhead, their love begins to wane and even fade away. I'm telling you, it is in those dark hours when God is approving our love. Amen. Now, I tell you, if you can't love Him in the hard times, my friend, your love for Him is very small indeed. But we're fair weather Christians. Son, while we're living on top of the mountain, everything seems to be all right, and our heart remains in love with the Lord. It remains kindled with a warm flame. But I'm telling you, friend, when the tempest sets in and the contrary winds begin to blow and the waves of opposition begin to raise against us, if we're not right careful, we'll find that glowing love and that warmth that we had for the Lord will begin to fade away. I have found that the bride loved Him even in the hard times. And I'll get to that in a minute. But she had just went through an extremely difficult hour in her life, and yet she loved the Lord. I want to say that our church has been through a hard time. But friend, like the bride here in Solomon, I'm satisfied that there's coming an hour when we shall come up on the other side of the storm, and the sun will shine again, and the birds will sing again, and the flowers will bloom again, and the joy bells will ring again in our hearts, and we'll be able to lift our voice again and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless His holy name." That's right. Somebody turn the air on. Turn her down where she'll run a little. Don't want no sleepy heads this morning. Huh? That's right. Listen what Jeremiah says. In Jeremiah chapter number 12 and verse 5. He said, "If thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" He is simply saying, my friend, if you fought the little battles and you can't even fight the little battles and win the victory, how in God's name do you ever expect to win the big battle? like those little Hebrew boys in Daniel, if you don't have enough grace to resist the king's meat, buddy, you're not going to make it in the furnace of fire and affliction when God turns up the heat on your soul. Amen. He goes on to say, and if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Brother, if life, if the little things of this life weary us and cause us to turn from our Lord or cause our love to grow cold for Him, what are we going to do, friend, in the swelling of Jordan? That is to say, when death is imminent, friend, and it comes time for us to lay down this body of flesh and die, when Jordan swells, how in heaven's name are you going to fare if you can't even contend with the little elements and the little trials of life that face you now? Now, I'm going to say that death's a coming. Somebody, we sung this morning that Jesus is a coming back. I'm going to say that so is death, friend, a coming. It will visit every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this room this morning. And brother, if you can't contend with the little things of life and dedicate yourself to God and live for the glory of God and love Him because He first loved you, how in heaven's name will you fare, my friend, when death knocks at your door? Huh? Somebody was talking last night about what's going on in Israel and how near the return of the Lord is. We were talking about Arafat trying to take their land from them, the Palestinians. Somebody said, well, said what we ought to do, send some of these rough boys over there. Some of these boys like Schwarzenegger, Mel Gibson, whoever he is, and Stallone, still whatever his name is, and send some of these rough boys, Columbo or Rambo or whatever his name was, send some of them rough boys over there. And I said, well, they may be rough on the screen, but I'm going to tell you, when the bullets, I'm talking about real live bullets just a flying, but brother, they may not be quite as rough as what folks think they are. And while I'm there, I want to say that you young people in here are absolute fools to try to pattern your life and lifestyle after that crowd that's in Hollywood. It's make-believe. It's a sham. It's a phony. Buddy, I've been to Vietnam. And them movies like Platoon and all and Rambo and all that is about as sparse, bless God, amen, as what the bunny rabbit and Santa Claus is. You don't run. You didn't run down through the jungles of Vietnam like a wild man wide open with a M16 in each hand to fire it. You wouldn't last 30 seconds, buddy. You would look, hey, a platoon would look like shish kebab on a steak, son. They had punji steak long enough that it'd hold 7 or 8 men if they caught them just right. You ain't running through. That's a farce. I don't know how I got off on that. But I'm telling you, it's a farce. I know how I got off on it. Son, hey, when things get real and death is real, and life and death are real, how are you going to fare in the work of God, my friend, when things are at peace and things are tranquil? If you can't make it, then you'll never make her. When Jordan begins to swell, death's a coming. Huh? Death's a coming. In that verse number 16, the bride expresses her personal interest in Christ. It's not just what she sees in Him. It's no longer His lips being sweet or His mouth sweet or His legs like pillars of marble set in sockets of gold. It's not like His cheeks as bed of roses or His hands like gold set in beryl. It's no longer what she sees in Him to be. But it's what He actually is in her life. In reality. She said, I have seen Him to be all these. I've seen Him to be all these. But oh, hallelujah to God. What He is in reality is my beloved and my friend, oh, you daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, He is yet, regardless of what He's allowed me to go through, what He's put me through, He is yet my beloved, and I yet love Him with heart, mind, body, and soul. Huh? I'm going to tell you, God will put us through a few trials and testings. And if we ain't careful, we'll run like a scared rabbit, buddy. Huh? Give up on God. Even after passing through some of her most troublesome days of her life, she could still say, He is my beloved. Loving Him in the hard times. Can you love Him in the hard times? Somebody said, how? What hard times? For He had withdrawn Himself. He had pulled completely away from her. She was like Job. She had looked for Him in front of her. She had looked for Him behind her. She had looked for Him at the right hand and the left hand, but she could not find Him because He had withdrawn His presence from her. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's one thing to love Him in church and be faithful in the house of God. Buddy, when it's thick, I mean when His presence is thick and the choirs are singing with power, and we're shouting the praises of God to the high heavens, and we got a good bankroll in our pocket, and all the bills are paid, and the families are running well. Mama's happy, Daddy's happy, all the children are happy, everybody's running well. But oh, I'm going to tell you something, my friend, when He withdraws Himself a little bit, and like in the days of Job, turns the devil loose on us for a little while, and His presence is no longer there, my friend, will you still love Him when He does that? That's what Satan asked Job. Did Job fear God for naught? Said Job just loves you because of what he can get out of you. That's all. Does he fear you for naught? Said take your heads down. Let me bite on his heels a little bit. Let me chew around on the egg sucker. See if he won't curse you to your face. Let me just tempt him a little while. Let me show him what life is all about. I'm going to tell you that some folks need to realize what life is all about, my friend. It's not always a bed of roses. Bless God, we got the idea in America we live in a bed of roses. A land of prosperity and lack of nothing and want for nothing. And I'm afraid that our love for everything has deadened our love for the Lord. Like Gary Wayne said in Sunday school, we've let the pleasures of this life and letting the thorns and the pleasures of this life and the cares of this life choke out the Word of God and choke out the love of God that's been shown abroad in our hearts until we're bringing forth no fruit for His honor and glory. Don't leave me now. He had withdrawn Himself. She sought Him and failed to find Him. Where are you at, God, and what are you doing? You ever ask Him that question? Now, I'm still in the introduction. Where are you at, Lord, and what are you doing in my life? Why is it seems that I've sought You? It says that in chapter 5. She sought Him, but she could not find Him. It goes on to say that she called unto Him in prayer, but He refused to answer. I'm going to tell you, wouldn't that make you feel very unloved, sir, if you went home tonight with your wife and you knew she was around somewhere and you looked all over the house and couldn't find her, called for her, and she wouldn't answer you? Amen. I'm going to tell you, you'd get a little distraught in your heart, to say the very least. Well, I wonder if that woman still loves me. After all she does is sit on the computer. I wonder if He really loves me. All He does is lay on a fishing bank. I wonder if He really loves me. He never comes home. Hey, come on,
now, can you love somebody when you feel like that they do not love you? Huh? We ought to be able to. Jesus said, love your enemies. We ought to be able to love folks when we feel unloved. But I'm going to tell you what this old heart says. We'll love them that love us. And we can love them that do love us. But the minute we feel unloved, we'll turn on them. And I'm afraid, my friend, if we're not careful, in the absence of His presence, in seeking Him in our prayer in the Bible, if we're not careful, our love for Him will wane while He's testing and proving us. She had been shamefully wounded by the watchman of the city. She had been deprived of her bridal veil. And yet, she said, He is my beloved and my friend. I'm getting to the message. Just hang with me a little while. I've heard folks say, Preacher, I've been wounded. I believe Benny talking about a man this morning got a raw deal in the church, said he wasn't going back to church. Why you don't take that out on the Lord for? Let me throw this out at you. Why do you want to let somebody's attitude in church that you've got a problem with, why do you want to let them cause your attitude to rob you of the blessings, the joy, and the love of God in your heart? I'm determined, buddy, I'm going to come to church and get what I need out of God, and I ain't about to let somebody else's attitude toward me deprive me of God's blessings in the house of God. Some of you in here don't like the way I spit, and you don't like the way I frown, and you don't like the way I romp and snort and jump up and down. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. He still loves me, and I still love Him. He is my beloved and my friend. And your attitude can't sway that one way or another. It makes no difference how you respond to His touch. I'm yet going to respond to the loving touch of God in my life and let Him thrill my soul with the blessings of heaven. Son, I'm going to tell you, I got beside myself this week. I was reading about Moses. He's my favorite character. Oh, the Word of God, Brother Mark. And you know when God called him to go into Egypt? He said, Moses said, I can't go down there. I ain't got no way to lead them out. He said, what kind of a sign are you going to show me? God said, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. God said, throw that rod down. And he threw that rod down on the ground. It turned into a snake, and Moses ran from the snake. God said, reach down and take it by the tail. And he reached down and took that snake by the tail, and it turned into a rod again. And I read on over a couple chapters where old Moses, when he got ready to go down into Egypt, the Bible said, and he took the rod of God in his hand. Do you realize that rod in his hand is a type of power, the power of God? And like Jacob wrestled with God and found power with God and with man, God said, my friend, I've given Moses, I've entrusted to him that rod of power. I'm telling you, if we'll get right with God and get purged and clean with God and fall in love with God, He'll give us the rod of God, the power of God, in a right hand that we might see old sinners saved. And you know what that rod is? That thing was used over and over again throughout the book of Exodus, and especially in the confrontation with Pharaoh. Now I'm going to tell you right here is about where I got beside myself. Moses got down in front of Pharaoh. God said, Moses, throw that rod down you got, that power. Show the devil what kind of power that you really got. He took that little old shepherd's rod and threw it down on the floor in front of Pharaoh, and it turned into a serpent, a snake, crawling around again on it. Moses said, well, I've seen that trick before. And Pharaoh told them sorcerers of his and magicians, said, make your rods do the same thing. And they did. They threw that old magic rod down on the floor, and there the magician's rods began to crawl around like a snake. But oh, I'm telling you, something wonderful happened. Something wonderful happened. That little old snake of Moses' son crawled over and swallowed up every other snake of Pharaoh's. Now look here, Pharaoh's a type of the devil. I'm telling you, that snake of his was a type of death. And son, here's what God's telling us. That power of God, my friend, that it was life that was swallowing up death. I'm telling you, Christ, my friend, has given us life that has swallowed up death and given us victory. And we ought to love Him through the hard times. Because He died for us. And give us life. And that more abundantly. Hallelujah. Now I'm trying to get to the message. When she used the term beloved, that's what I'm going to preach on. When she used the term beloved, He is my beloved. After going through all the troubles, He's still my beloved. What she was saying is that she yet preferred Him above all others. There was no other man in the world quite like the Lord. Amen. Hey, the Scripture said in Exodus 20, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Come on in the house, children. She said, I still prefer Him more than I do Sunday night football. I still prefer Him more than I do the playoffs. I'm sick of reading in the paper about the playoffs. Amen to God. Always got some reprobate picture about how many points he scored and his arms is full of tattoos and he looks like a devil in the face. Amen. I'm going to tell you, our younger generation is swallowing that myth and eating it up alive. But she said, I'll have no other gods. Regardless of the hard times. A sin, my friend, is still a heavy taskmaster, but the burden of Christ in my life is light, she said. I prefer Him. He's still the preferred beloved above all others. Said her love and affection for Him was still a flame, still a burning. Matthew 22:37 said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And although she was severely tried in her faith in Him, her faith was yet very strong. That is right. He is still my beloved. He is still my friend. Though the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory and the appearing of our Lord. I want to ask you something. When you're trying your faith, withdrawals to prove you love. Do you still love Him? Amen. Can you love Jesus through the hard times? Amen. Ricky and Kelly's getting ready to find out whether they can. Amen. Brother Smith's getting ready to find out whether he can. Amen. How many of you know that they told Benny to get off the job down where he's at? He's getting ready to find out if he can. Amen. Owns a house trailer, making payments on. I'm going to pray for it. Making payments on a mobile home. Got a new automobile, a new van, a new truck. Come on in the house, children. And looks a man looks him in the face and said, you can go home. Your job here is terminated. Can you still love Him through the hard times? Hey, when marriage ain't a-going like it ought to, can you love Him through the hard times? When that little sweet mama of yours ain't as sweet as she used to be, can you love Him through the hard times? Come on in the house, children. When that little sweetheart begins to get pleasingly plump from the baby she's bore for you, can you still love her, sir? Are you going to be like that reprobate preacher out yonder in Canada that said she was fat and ugly and didn't appeal to him anymore? Can you love him through the hard times? Hey, when the hair begins to dwindle and that man's muscles sag and he's no longer got a masculine chest but a pot gut, ma'am, can you still love him? I hope so, Brother Wayne. But I'm going to tell you what the world's thinking out there is, buddy. If you ain't anchored in Christ, if your soul ain't anchored, you're not deeply in love with Him, I'm going to tell you, your eyes will begin to look for another that looks just a tiny bit better to you than what your mate does. You'll wind up like a lot of folks, shacking up and living like dogs and animals.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't like that, preacher. I don't care whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Hey, some women, all they want to do is lay around and have babies and draw welfare checks and shack up with every man that'll unzip his drawers for them. Come on in the house, youngins. We are preaching this morning. Son, it's time that we got right in our heart with God and learned to love Him because He died and saved us and live for Him a godly and a holy life.
Yeah.
I won't charge you nothing for that little excerpt. People talk about loving God. Huh? I don't love God to be more than a man on the moon, son. I love Him for what He can give. But she's loving Him for what He is. Some of you looking awful frowny face. Son, if you don't smile a little bit, I'm going to back up and hit it again. Huh? I won't charge you nothing for this. Hey, do you know why we're paying thousands of dollars income taxes? Come on! We're supporting the welfare program, son. We're supporting them that won't support themselves. And you can like this, lump it, hump it, bump it. Don't make any difference to me. You can thank God for your wonderful Kentucky Democrat Party for that. They didn't want to give what we got. Coming back. I read in the paper the other day, said singles going to get 300 and married folk going to get 600 back in the middle of August. I said, thanks be unto God for old George W.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
That's right. All right, here's the application and we're going to the house. Loving Him in the hard times. She loved Him even though she had experienced a sense of desertion. Have you ever felt deserted? Ever felt like no one loved you, nobody cared? Had no friends? Have you ever felt friendless? I've been there. I've been there, Brother Ricky. I've sat under a little old tent in Vietnam a many a night or laid in a hole. You couldn't get mail half the time, and half the time when it did come, nobody'd write you a letter, and I wondered, living over there, is there anybody? Is there anybody that cares? Is there anybody that loves? Is there anybody that understands what my soul? Have you ever gotten that way when your soul is in deep distress and your heart is broken and you're full of grief and you look on every hand just to try to find a friend or someone to talk to, someone to share that love with, and it seems there's nobody? That little bride felt deserted. She felt forsaken. She had called. She had sought. But there was no answer from God. And she felt deserted in her heart. But when she come out on the other side of the trial, she said, He's yet my beloved and He's yet my friend. I yet love Him. Even in the hard times. You love Him in the hard times. You ever felt forsaken? Ever felt like you was deserted? I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you have, count it a real blessing. Somebody said, oh, you're a fool. Oh, no. No, God won't. God only allows privileged characters to experience that sense, to experience that emotion of being deserted, friendless. Some of you young folks in here, you've got in your little tips and drawn up in a corner and puckered up your little mouth and felt like nobody in the school cared for you. Why, the teacher don't understand. Mrs. Hall, Brother Bell, Mrs. Woodard, they none of them understand. And none of my friends understand. They've all deserted me. I'm going to tell you something, friend. For a child of God, it's a blessed experience to be deserted by God for a little while. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, you're crazy." Oh, no, no. She felt like she had been forsaken. And nobody loved her. Deserted and forsaken. Do you know what Brother David said? This is said of David in his own writing. But it's a great psalm of the Messianic psalm. If you've experienced that forsakenness, let it be said this morning that Christ experienced it long before you ever have. Now, I'm going to tell you, we want to be Christ-like. Oh, and to be Christ-like is for a woman to grow out long hair and put on a good dress. And I think you ought to wear a dress and dress right and have your hair right. Men have their hair cut right. And we equate that with Christ-likeness. And I'm going to tell you what God said about our Lord Jesus in Psalm 22 while He's hanging on the cross. He cried, "My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It wasn't just in thought of mind. It was in reality of experience. When the sky turned dark and clouds separated the Son from the Father, and the wrath of God was poured out upon His soul, and all of the flames of hell engulfed His very being, forsaken by God, forsaken by those that He come to redeem. Amen. Peter, James, and John, and all the other crowd had forsaken Him and departed. He knew what it was to be forsaken and betrayed by mankind, but now, in the final hour of His life, He's forsaken by His own Father, by God Almighty. Amen. My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He said, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but Thou art holy. Thou art Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee and were delivered. They trusted in Thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man." He said, "The others trusted in You and You delivered them. And now You fail to deliver me. You fail to help me." My friend, have you ever felt that way? In the dark hours, you've ever felt like that God has deserted you, that Christ has forsaken you. I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, keep on crying in the daytime. Keep on praying in the night seasons. Because, brother, just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, there's going to come a day dawn, and the suns are going to rise again in your soul. They may be a winter month, but thank God springtime is just around the corner. The birds are about to sing, and the flowers are about to bloom. And they did in her life. We'll find it out in just a minute. You ever felt deserted, forsaken? Can you love Him through that? You ever prayed? Seemed like heaven was brash, nobody there to hear a word. Seemed like the word just rolled off your lower lip and fell on the floor. Have you ever broke down and wept and cried, and yet it seemed like God was far from you? Can you keep on? Hey, can you love Him in the dark hour? She had felt that way, and yet she could look at the daughters of Jerusalem and say, "This is my beloved and my friend." She felt that help had failed. You ever feel like help's failed? We do feel that way, don't we? We wonder where God's at in our life, what He's a-doing, where He's a-working, what on heaven's name is it going on, why is everything going wrong? And we've prayed, we've cried, we've sought Him, and help don't come. I'm going to have to say this. I thought when I was getting ready for this, I thought about Angie. It's bound to be discouraging when you want something from God that only God can give, and only God can give babies.
Amen.
Only God can give little babies. And you want something so bad, and you try and lose it? Are you listening to me? You try and you lose it? Is it not hard to keep heart? Is it not hard to keep faith? Is it not hard to keep on loving Him when you feel like He's deprived you of the greatest, richest blessing of your life? Can you love Him through the hard times? If you can't run with the footmen, you can't run with the horses. I thought about how discouraged she must get. I'll be honest, I thought about old Brother Mark up there painting away on that house. And I thought, man, it's got to be discouraging when he's got very little help from us. And he knows that's what God wants in their life. And he's wondering where God might be, what God's doing. I hate to use me, but I've looked at my own life. Man's sick all the time. I'm taking that stinking medication now, and every time I take it, I get so sick I could just about gag. Had to take it this morning, take it 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening. And I took her this morning. I went yesterday and bought some of that Acidophilus or whatever it is. You might as well flip it out on the ground. It ain't going to help your stomach and settle it. Just feel sick. You come to church and you feel shaky and trembly all on the inside. You wonder how long it'll be before your mind begins to draw some blanks, and you begin to preach some blanks, and you wonder what on heaven's name God's a doing, and you cry! I've wept over it. I've called on God. I've cried to God, and it seems like all that I can get back, my friend, is a breath of heaven and no answer. Except my grace is sufficient for you. Are you listening to me? I wonder if God put me in a wheelchair a year from now if I could still love Him. Come on in the house, children. I talked to a 55-year-old man a few weeks ago. Going to have his knees operated on, said he may never walk, said he may have to be in a wheelchair at 55. And he told his wife, said, "Honey, lock up all my guns." He said, "I'm thinking about doing something you wouldn't want me to do." But he said he got home and got to praying. No, and he said, "Buddy," he said, "it wasn't long till I saw a little ray of sunlight coming through that dark cloud that was covering my head."
Amen.
He said, "I realize that God's still on the throne." Church, it's like that time I flew to Alaska and left out of Seattle, Washington. It was raining and overcast, and that big jumbo jetliner stuck its nose up in the air, and the devil crawled up on my shoulder and said, "Buddy, this plane is a going down." And I thought I was. I thought it was over. But that plane kept on climbing. It got so thick and mushy, you couldn't see the wingtips. That's the way it may get in your Christian life. It may get dark and cloudy till you can't see the wingtips that you're flying in. And that aircraft kept on climbing. The devil said, "You're getting ready to die, buddy. You're going to run head on into another airplane and that's it." But I'm here to tell you that in a little while, buddy, that big jumbo jetliner put its nose through that cloud barrier. And son, when that nose shot through and the wing shot through, I saw some of the most brilliant sun rays that I'd ever seen in all my life. I thought, "My God, how can it be so dark under me and so bright and shining above me?" And the Holy Ghost said, "Hey boy, that's exactly how it is in your Christian life. The dark clouds may be under you, but," they said, "hallelujah to God, and there's a silver lining behind every cloud, and the sun's always a-shining in glory land. You may be forsaken by God, but the sun's always a-shining yonder in glory land." Hallelujah. I won't say secondly. I've just got 3 little points. I won't be much longer. She not only experienced the sin of desertion, but she experienced a sense of dejection.
Right.
You ever felt dejected? Huh? I'm talking about a lowness of spirit, kind of occasioned by grief and misfortune. And I hate to sound worldly, but kind of like them old boys, if it weren't for no luck, bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, misery on me. Dejected, you ever feel that way? Huh? Tried and failed. I'm sure she had the idea. I've tried and I've failed. And what's the use? God ain't going to love me. And nobody in the church loves me. I've tried to do something in the church and I fouled up at it. I failed. The preacher don't appreciate it. He don't really love me. He'll never let me participate in anything again. That is a foolhardy feeling and a lie from the devil, my friend, to your heart to try his best to discourage you, to get you to sit down on your stool and do nothing.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you one of the easiest ways that a person can the crowd won't have nothing to do with me. Why, them other teenagers won't have anything to do with me. I've tried to get up there and play that fool piano with Mrs. Hall, and I can't learn nothing. I guess I'm just dumb. And I say something to you. Me and you will be dumb together. Because I can't play it neither. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Hall, I even made an F in school. They didn't call me flagpole for nothing, boys. Well, I'm a little poor and ain't got as much money as some of the rest of them. And I'm not as well liked, or neither am I accepted in their little club or crowd. We eat commodity cheese when I went to school, buddy. Free. Man from the county came to cut our hair. And we didn't even live next door to a millionaire. And we wasn't nothing but poor folks. But all I'm going to tell you something. Tried and failed. Peers dejected me. But I'm glad, thank God, I can turn my face toward heaven.
Amen.
Say, Thou art my beloved.
Amen.
And my friend. When nobody else loves me, I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother and loveth me at all times. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Rest assured, when no one loves you, He does. When nobody wants you, He does. He's proved that He wants you. He came to redeem you. He died for you. He is your beloved and He is your friend. He's already proved that. Sense of dejection. Kind of like Hagar. Felt nobody wanted her. Put out the bondwoman with her child. Hey, Gar, what are you doing sitting over under that tree? I got my boy over there, Lord. And as soon as that bottle of water's gone, he'll die and I'll die. Well, what are you doing out here in the wilderness, Hagar? Don't nobody love me. My master's run me off. Sarah hates me. I'm dejected in my spirit. I'm full of misfortune and grief. And I'll die here in the wilderness. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. I'm going to tell you, that's what some of this crowd in here needs today.
Amen.
Is to get your eyes open where you can see a well of water.
Amen. You're in there now.
And well of water and put a new spring in your step, buddy. Come on, Hagar. And look here. You know what? And I believe I'm right on this. That water was so good. If I read in the Scriptures right, she never did drink out of the well. She just filled her water bottle back up. She said, this water's so good. All I need is a bottle full. Huh? Miss Hall, I guess I oughtn't to say this, but I'm going to tell it now. It's hard to. She bought three little old suckers for our little youngins that's graduating. They're in a little baby bottle. Got a little nipple on them. Got candy in them. They can just put them things up there and just suck that sugar out of there and just keep on. That little thing will just laugh and laugh. Them little baby kids can, you know. And I got to thinking about that little old bottle. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Hagar took that little old bottle of water, rammed it in that little old boy's mouth. Amen. He just sucked on that bottle of water, began to grow and grow. And look here. And God said, don't worry, Hagar. Don't fret, Hagar. You've been dejected and you've been put out by your husband and been dejected by Sarah. But said, hey, don't feel wearied and don't feel put out. I'm going to take that little old boy you're raising and I'm going to make a wild man out of him and nations out of his, Lord. And he's going to be famous just like Isaac is.
Amen.
Woo! What God can do. When we drink from the water that's in the well. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, you're the wild man around here. I like it. I wish some of you would get on your feet and help me. Because I know that I'm preaching to somebody that feels forsaken, deserted, and dejected, and unloved, saddened and full of sorrow. Misfortune and grief has been your lot. Then she might have felt disesteemed. You know what that word disesteem means, don't you? Slighted and disliked. Brother Hall, don't ever ask me to sing any special music. Son, I don't want to get into tonight's preaching, but I want every one of you to listen right quickly. For a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. Maybe why you ain't got any friends is because you stay drawn up all the time. You don't show yourself friendly. You got to be friendly to have friends in this life. I won't charge nothing for that. That would be on the menu for tonight. She felt slighted and disliked. But I'm going to tell you what turned her life around. It'll turn yours around.
Yes,
listen carefully. She experienced a sense of desperation and determination. Being separated from him, wounded by the watchman of the city, called, couldn't, no answer, sought him, couldn't find him, went out looking for him, no response. But I'm going to tell you, she was so determined. She didn't give up. Her love didn't cool. Her faith didn't drop. She just was so determined and so desperate, so desperately in love and so determined to find him that she just kept on looking. Somebody said, now, preacher, how do you know she kept on looking? I'm glad you asked. Because in chapter 6 and verse 1, them daughters of Jerusalem said, where is your beloved? Where's he at? Where can we find him at? And she said, well, I'm glad you asked, ladies. He's down in his garden, feeding among the lilies.
Amen.
Now get this. Come on into church, children. You know what that garden is, don't you? It's a church.
Amen.
Now little old bride said, guess what, you daughters of Jerusalem? He's right exactly where he's always been. He's yet in the church.
Amen.
That's where he's at today, folks. You can believe it or not. Hey, somebody said it's been cold and dry and dead and no spirit, but he's yet right here in the church, approving our faith, attesting our love, that he might bless us in the end.
Amen.
You get a hold of that? I wonder where he's at over here, bro. Uh-oh. Guess what I see? I see a shadow. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. And you'll know Him by those nail prints in His hand. I'm going to say something, folks. He's never left this church. Not for 1 minute. He's just drawn us aside to be tested and tried. To find out if we'll really, really love Him in the hard times. Now here, when we come out of this valley and rise up on the mountaintop, if you've stayed faithful and true,
amen,
you'll be able to turn back around and look at that valley and say, He is my beloved.
Amen.
And my friend.
Amen.
Yes. Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful God. Hey.
Amen.
She found Him.
Amen.
She made it through the trial. Can I give you a little verse of Scripture some of you ain't going to like? But he that shall endure unto the end,
amen,
the same shall be saved.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. If you really love Him, you'll endure to the end and you will be delivered.
Amen.
He loves you. Do you love Him? Even in the hard times. Is He yet your beloved and your friend? Let's stand together, please. Do you love Him? Do you really, really love Him? Feel deserted, forsaken, disesteemed, dejected, forsaken by God and all friends? Can I say this to you this morning in honesty? I know you got two friends. Him and I love you. Brother Hall will do his best to stand right with you through it all if I can. It may be some days you may have to visit me over there. I may not feel too good. Be a little sick in body myself. But you're welcome. Come over there and I'll pray with you and for you. Talk to you, fellowship with you. I'll counsel you. I'll do the best I can do to help you. I want to be your friend that'll stick closer than a brother to you. I want to be your pastor. I want to see you through it. I want to see you through it. By the good grace of God, when the trumpet sounds, wouldn't be no greater a joy and a blessing to Brother Hall than to have this church assembled in this building and let the trumpet sound and see us rise together to meet the Lord in the air. I could be like Paul. I could say, "For ye are my crown and my rejoicing at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You're my crown. Look what God has given me and entrusted me with, and look what God has done under my ministry. Somebody said, "It ain't very many." I'm not looking for many. I'm looking for quality in folks and not quantity. I'll take what God gives me, do my best to mature them in the Lord, and preach to them the Word of God as I see it in that book. Why don't you get that thing? Why don't you just drive that old spirit out of your life today and we can see revival? I said a minute ago, it's rot, ruin, or revival. Which one do you want? Our Father, I'm thankful for the liberty to preach and the help from God. Bless in these next moments. Come, O Spirit of God. Conviction and glory settle in on this place. That those hearts of
of God's people might be turned to Thee, that they might know that Thou art God. Lord, that You have not forsaken them completely, but only for a moment, that You may try and prove and test them. Thank You for this morning hour. I pray somebody will be saved by the grace of God today. And we'll thank You, Father, and praise You, because You're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Feel dejected? Are we going to sing, Brother George? Page 304. Have Thine Own Way, I believe. Feel deserted, dejected, disesteemed, slighted, forsaken. Let God do something wonderful for you today. As we sang 304, the altar's available for you today. Let's sing right out.